Does anyone want to share where we can find solutions that lead to serenity and how we can apply them to conflict? Put your hands up, your electronic hands up now. If you don't know where to find your electronic hand, I had to learn this the hard way. You move your mouse across the bottom of the screen and you'll find the participants button. I think it's that one. And you click it. And then when you go through to that screen, oh no, maybe in reactions. No. Help me. Where's it gone now?
Every device. It's different on every device. So be careful because, just put it in the chat. Federica, you still have your hand up. If you don't want to share on this specific question, take your hand down because I'm going to ask you to unmute. Go ahead, Federica, unmute yourself. Where can I find solutions and how can I apply them to the situation?
I find solution in a slogan. How important is it? First thing first, and let go, thank God. And how I apply in my mind, try to calm down. And if it is necessary for me, I go out of the room. It depends from the situation, of course. Try to feel connected with myself, repeat the serenity prayer and these slogans, and then go back in the room. Thank you.
Thank you, Federica. Anne, could you unmute yourself?
Done. Thank you. So for me, it was feeling the reaction I was having in the moment. That was how I found serenity. I felt the reaction I was having, which was I feel stupid and I'm being abandoned. And so I turned tail and ran because I wanted to abandon first. But then I realized the reaction I was feeling, that physically I was full of tension, and I turned around and came back and admitted. So that's how I find serenity. I admit the things I'm doing and then I make the amend. And the amend was specific. The amend is, I'm sorry I abandoned you in the middle of you asking me for something. And I'm sorry for that. What can I do to make it better? And in doing so, I changed. That's it. Oh, and one other thing you asked for about the code of conduct. To me, it's the steps, the traditions, and the concepts. We have a code of conduct. Okay. Thank you.
Susie Q.
Hi, everyone. I really love this topic. And I think that in the first part of the question, when I recognize that there's a conflict, it's very, very difficult for me to not defend and not deflect. But I recognize that, for better or worse, I need to hear the comments. And this program has really taught me that usually if I'm feeling attacked, that's about them. It's not about me. It's where they're at, or it's their perspective or whatever. I have learned to keep quiet and to process my feelings offline. So with another program member, another Al-Anon member, or my sponsor, hopefully. But that's as far as, those are the things that I've been exposed to. So my question is really, like in my case, I'm with someone who doesn't have a program. How do we therefore resolve the conflict together or have those difficult conversations? Because I can recognize my part. I can try to make amends for my part, but ultimately, it seems like these conflicts come up over and over again because there's not maybe a resolution that we come together and have a resolution, or we decide that we're going to do things differently together. So
thank you, Susie. I'll let that up to Sally Ann to answer that a little bit later as I go through some more people. Joanne? Could you unmute? Where do you find the solutions and how can you apply them?
I find my solutions. First of all, I have to center on myself and realize what physical manifestations I'm having with myself, like heart pounding, jaw clenching, all of that. And I have to work through that first to calm myself down so that I can think more clearly. So the awareness right there of the physical manifestations. And then I need to question or verify info so that I'm, you know, speaking from an informed basis. I use the serenity prayer as much as I can. It says everything for me. And then remember dignity, my own and others' dignity, and treat them that way, you know, with respect, and myself too, first of all. And then it's a lot of times I have to come to the conclusion that it's not about the outcome of this, because I have to let go and let God. So, you know, speak my peace and then let go. I'm interested in being heard, and I have to listen to others too. And after that, it's let go and let God. And that's it for me.
Thank you, Joanne. Sushma? Sushma, can you unmute?
Hi.
Yep.
I didn't realize that. Okay. So the way I'm usually very confused with, I came a little late, so I don't know much, but one of the things I do is that I keep listening to people, you know, coming to Al-Anon, and sometimes, you know, the topic is totally entirely different, but when I start listening to people, I calm down. So I guess I don't feel lonely anymore, because I was always brought up with the feeling that we should be talking that things out if we have a problem. But then the biggest impact that I've had with my relationship is that there's no communication. And even if there's a communication, I can't trust him anymore. You know, so it's like I'm in a conflict that whom do I trust? My inner words here? But then I come to these wonderful meetings. And because of the COVID-19, I have been going to various meetings, and everybody, anywhere I go, any meeting I go, whether it's San Francisco or Timbuktu, people still have the same issues that I have. And I feel that, okay, I'm okay. That is where I am. Thank you.
Thank you, Sushma. Jasmina.
Thank you, Sushma.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Sally. Nice to see New Zealand people here. For me, whenever I have physical reactions, like the heartbeat, the breathing, it's usually a sign that something triggered me. And I've blocked myself from my higher power, and my ego's activated because something's brought me back to my childhood, and I feel like my needs are not being met. So for me, just seeing that as a sign that I have disconnected from my higher power, and that I'm not using the protective forces of my higher power and my connection, that my ego is activated, is like the biggest reminder to reposition myself in conflict. So I usually just kind of go, where is my higher power? Like, where have I cut it off? And then I usually think about the fact that whatever's going on, it's not personal. It's usually just about my needs not being met and the other person's needs not being met and not having the tools to resolve it properly. So I just try to like be like, it's not personal. Where is my higher power? Let you know, any need that I feel not being met, my higher power can meet for me, or it can show me the way to meet myself. And I just try and remember that. And as soon as I have those kind of calming thoughts and I bring my higher power back into the situation I'm in, then like my adult self kind of comes back and I can have a conversation, be like, oh, you know, what's going on with the other person? Like what is being triggered here, and kind of bring the reason and make it less emotional. So it's just realizing that it's usually a trigger that brings me back to my childhood, and my ego gets activated and tries to resolve it in ways that are not effective anymore.
Thank you, Jasmina. Jane, can you unmute yourself? Yep, there you are.
Hi, how are you? Thanks so much. This is very interesting to me. I really don't experience a lot of conflict anymore, and a lot of times find myself pretty shocked with my first reaction when I realize that it is. I also feel it personally when it happens. It feels very personal, like somebody's out to get me. And I usually cannot do it by myself. I have to get away and pray or call somebody and force myself to really feel what I'm feeling before I can detach to it and then get back and clean it up. I always thought somebody was going to win and somebody was going to lose. And I forget that today I believe that the ideal outcome is a win-win. And when I can put, you know, principles before personalities and go back to that person or that situation, once I truly feel that, I think they don't feel threatened either. And I like to really resolve things quickly and be done with them, because if I don't, I keep reacting to it until it's done. And it doesn't matter if it's 10 minutes or 10 days. It doesn't go away until I've done my part. So thanks. I'm really enjoying this. I haven't experienced anything like this before. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane. Michael, can you unmute yourself? Michael? Are you able to unmute yourself?
Yep. I am there now, yeah. Sorry about that. Just like to say exactly what the last girl just said. Never experienced that like this. My wife is an Al-Anon, and she's wrote down, if she doesn't mind me sharing, which is... by listening to the first part for the serenity, and by seeing where she was wrong, to try and apply that. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'd use this in both contexts, as in business meetings or after a group conscience or whatever, and also in my relationship. I find this helpful. Asking, can I get a time to express how I feel with the person I'm having a conflict with? And I'm willing to listen to what they think. And the reason for that, to try and see how that applies to the conflict, would be to get to the bottom of it and to see just really how important it is. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. Sally Ann.
Oh, it's me, back to me. Huge thank you to all of you who have shared your experience on where to find solutions in conflict and then how to apply them. What I wrote down is, from what I heard, is the slogans are really helpful here. I can take time to calm myself down. I can leave the room. I can physically leave. That one is incredibly helpful. I can look for ways to connect to my higher power. Use the serenity prayer. That one came up a lot, so it's got a little asterisk next to it. I can feel the reaction, feel my feelings, and then I would add personally to that, then detach from them, because I've learned in these rooms feelings aren't facts, right? I can keep quiet, and I would add to that, shut up is a prayer, and I learned that in here. I can reason it out with someone else. I can look at what physical manifestations are happening for me right now, and then I would add detach from them or look to, you know, working them through with things like we said earlier, calming down, leaving the room, breathing. I like someone's solution was to bring the awareness of dignity and respect, dignity for self and dignity for the other person. I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. Another one is ask for help. Recognize, and this takes awareness, right? Recognize that my ego is activated. And the one that kept coming up over and over again from so many of you was listen. And I'm just going to take a little time. If you've got your service manual handy, just grab it now. We're all going to flick to concept 9. And the particular page I want us to look at starts on page 196. And if you've never experienced this reading, then have I got a treat for you. And I'm very honored to be the person to introduce this reading to you. It is the essay on leadership written by Bill W. for a 1959 issue of The Grapevine. And it applies to us. And the particular bit that I'm going to go to is where Bill's talking about conflict, of course, in this essay, and he talks about critics. And he's talking about, I'll just read a little bit. Leadership is often called upon to face heavy and sometimes long continued criticism. This is on page 197. An acid test. There are always constructive critics, our friends indeed. I love that phrase. We ought never fail to give them a careful hearing. We should be willing to let them modify our opinions or change them completely. Often too, we shall have to disagree and then stand fast without losing their friendship. He goes on to say, and this is the bit that came up for me with your solutions about listening. He says, if we are the target, we ought to listen carefully to what they say. Sometimes they are telling the whole truth, at other times a little truth. More often though, they are just rationalizing themselves into nonsense. If they speak even a little truth, we had better thank them, take our respective inventories, and admit we were wrong. If it is nonsense, we can ignore it or lay all our cards on the table and try to persuade them. Failing this, we can be sorry they are too sick to listen and try to forget the whole business. There are a few better means of self-survey and of developing genuine patience than the workouts these usually well-meaning, erratic members afford us. This is a large order, and sometimes we shall fail to make good on it, but we must keep trying. There is so much richness in here, and I read this essay over and over again, and I have little touchstones in it, like my friend indeed, or like, oh, an acid test. But I think what really helped me in going back to that night, that conflict that I talk about, listen carefully to what they say. And that's why I've got true, you know, is some of this true? Maybe there's some truth in here, and maybe that's why I'm in conflict. Is, I don't know about you guys, but I don't particularly like hearing the truth about myself. You know, I don't run skipping to my sponsor and say, hey, I'm feeling really good today. Want to listen to my step five? And she's going to tell me the truth about myself, and we're going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. That's not really how the truth happens for me. Generally, when someone tells me the truth about myself, you know, they hold up a big mirror and I look at it and I go, oh, yeah, that was a bit ugly. I feel uncomfortable afterwards and I feel challenged and I feel hurt. But you know what? In these rooms, I'm encouraged to detach from my feelings and to grow. And I'm super grateful for the member who reminded us, I asked in the beginning, I talked about how in Al-Anon we would come in and we learn, you know, love, peace and understanding, and we always behave really well in business meetings and in the rooms. And we all laughed at that because that's not true at all. And I said, you know, wouldn't it be great if Al-Anon had a code of conduct? Do we have one? And the person reminded us that we have the steps and the traditions and the concepts. You know, we have the three legacies, and essentially they are our code. I completely agree. But if you tried getting every single person in your meeting to work the steps, let alone study the traditions of the concepts, because, you know, I'm not very good at controlling other people, but what we do have is a wonderful guide, again, in this beautiful book on page 22, and it's this, and I love it, and we read it in my home group, and it's so important to me. It's the passage that talks about resolving group problems, let me see, otherwise known as conflict, and it's hidden under the three obstacles to success, and it goes like this. Al-Anon discussions should be constructive, helpful, loving, and understanding. In striving towards these ideals, we avoid topics that can lead to dissension and distract us from our goals. And I add in there, I avoid behavior that can lead to dissension and distract us from our goals. And I look at this list on this page and I think to myself, am I being constructive? Am I being helpful? Am I being loving? Am I being understanding? And in a nutshell, there's our code of conduct: constructive, helpful, loving, and understanding. Because sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm the problem. You know, sometimes I'm the conflict in the room. Sometimes I'm the person who's at a business meeting and I'm the one who's being obstructive. And sometimes it's just because I don't understand and I need more information. You know, I'm so grateful I've been on the board in Al-Anon New Zealand, and when I was a new board member, you know, when you're new in service and you're green and you just don't know what you don't know, at the time I was asking a lot of questions about something and the board wanted to move on, and the chair asked me this question, and I was so hurt I'm challenged at the time, but it was a great question because it enabled the board to move on. She said, I see you're having trouble with this. What information do you need so that we can move on? And it was brilliant because it acknowledged where I was with grace and dignity, but it also reminded me that I am not important in that room. There were 9 of us and we needed to move on and I was holding us back. So I needed to, guess what I needed? The thing that I needed to do was trust. I needed to trust the other 8 members in the room that they'd done the work and they'd studied what we were discussing. And I could do that. So I could let go of my confusion and my apprehension around the thing. And I was able to say that in that moment, and we were able to move on. The board was able to move on with me, not without me, with me, because I could let go and trust. Okay, I'm going to take us back. Thank you, everyone, again, for participating. I'm going to take us back to the PowerPoint. Hopefully I'm choosing the right one. Here we go. So we've done our take 5. We've learned solutions that lead to serenity, and we've learned how to apply them to conflict. So we've got knowledge now of where those solutions are. I'm just going to run through some that I think of, and these have come up. Slogans, think, is it true, helpful, important, necessary, kind, live and let it begin with me. So many of the slogans apply here. My higher power can grant me serenity, courage, and wisdom. Not me. You know, I spent a lot of time in my early Al-Anon trying to enact serenity, trying to be courageous and trying to be wise. I can't. I'm not that powerful. I have to ask someone else something other than me to grant me that stuff. Oh, my wallet. What on earth does that mean? So here we go. Why would I go to my wallet for a solution? That is so weird. Let me see. Could there be a solution in my wallet? This is my wallet. I can see someone else, Renee S. from New Zealand. She's gone into her wallet. Why is there a solution in my wallet? That's because in my wallet, I carry this tool. It's called Loving Interchange to Resolve Conflict. It literally lives in my wallet, you guys. And it lives in my wallet because I'm not wise all the time. I'm not serene all the time. I need this nearby so that if I face an, oh, look at you, I love you, Gretchen, yep. If I face an unexpected conflict, I can pause myself and I can go and get this. And yes, it goes with my outfit. And yes, God did that. That's always nice. So I have an instant way to access solutions that do not come from here. Because I'm not that smart, as I've shared. So I can go to my wallet. It's called the S71 if you want to get one for yourself. And Gretchen was showing that it's part of a whole pack, so I do recommend getting the whole pack. I'll just quickly, this is what the pack looks. Oh, can you see me? You can see me in the side screen maybe. That's what the pack looks like. So I can go to my wallet. I can phone my sponsor, my service sponsor. I can also phone the area delegate because the area delegate's job in their job description is to help resolve conflicts and group problems. I know this because I've been an area delegate. We can read Cal readings on conflict. So quick, does anyone think that we have Cal on conflict? I don't know. Let's open. Just we'll do a quick little test. I've got today's, well, the ODAT out. Going to see, looking through, conflict. You know what's funny? In our early one, is it there? No, of course it's not. Let's try another one. Let's try this one. Conflict. You can see this is live. You know it's not even in that one. Let's try this one. Da, 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 da. Courage to change. Come on, courage to change. Oh my gosh, you guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pages on conflict resolution in the Courage to Change. So there you go. If you find yourself in conflict in the next few days, pick up the Courage to Change and go straight to the index. And there is a bunch of stuff in there on conflict. Thank goodness for the Courage to Change. The AFG Classic Edition. It has the application of the 12 traditions to specifically to group problems. And guess what? I know it says group problems, but it doesn't mean they're not going to work at problems or conflicts in the workplace or in your home. they're applicable in all our affairs, let's face it. I can grab my service manual and I can find support, wisdom, strength, and hope through the years. Let me see, I can do a quick step one. Who's ever done an instant step one on a piece of paper in the moment and then stuck it in their pocket? I have, I've done that heaps, especially in my old workplaces. The traditions, we can look to the S2 flip cards and in a place to find unity. This is all about resolving conflict. The concepts themselves, and concept four for me is an absolute favorite. It talks to me looking at my part. And I just go through the conflicts. I know when I first started looking at the conflicts, the concepts, I know when I first started looking at the concepts, I was 100% sure that the concepts did not apply to me because they were about people serving at the World Service Conference. I live in New Zealand, don't know if you've noticed, but I do. And it means that I am not ever going to need these concepts because I'm never going to work at the World Service Conference or go there. But surprisingly, it turned out I do need them. And for me, concept four, participation is the key to harmony. What's the opposite of conflict? Might be harmony. So if I want harmony, this concept tells me that I need to participate in whatever's going on. I can't do those things I used to do. I can't fight, freeze, or trauma, or minimize, or go into denial, which, as I've shared earlier, was my big one. I can't afford to do that. I have to participate. So look, there we go, loving interchange to resolve conflict. And I've put lol there because to me that's funny, because if I'm in conflict, I'm not looking to be loving, you guys. I am looking to win, and I'm looking to be right. So I renamed this, as I shared earlier, to my serenity saver, because while I'm not looking for loving interchange to resolve conflict, I do want my serenity back, and that makes it about me. Okay, so concept four, we've talked about a little bit. Concept four, participation is the key to harmony. This is about me, right? How do I behave in conflict? I fight, I flight, I freeze, I trauma, I minimize, I deny. So instead of doing those, this concept is saying to me, that's how you used to participate. You know, that's the diseased way of participating. What's another way? What else could I do? What's a way that I could participate in conflict that would be more helpful and that would lead me to harmony? Because if harmony is what I want, then behaving in the way I used to behave is not going to be helpful. So how do I normally deal with conflict? Is it helpful? No. So first of all, I have to be aware of that, right? The three A's, awareness, acceptance, action. I have to accept that my physical reaction in conflict is not going to be helpful. You know, my heart's going to start pounding. My knees are going to get all tingly. I'm possibly going to feel like I want to throw up. I'm definitely going to be feeling like I want to leave now. But none of that's helpful, and none of that's going to lead me to harmony. Sometimes, if it is a dangerous situation, yeah, getting out will help. Sometimes with my husband, what I need to do is just go away and calm down, because if I speak in the moment, it's not going to be helpful, kind, loving. You know, it's not going to be within that code of conduct. So I sometimes need to take five, which is why we're talking about taking five. I need to go away. I need to breathe. I need to connect with my higher power. So these are the things that I've learned to do differently. And I can only take that action once I've accepted that, you know what, sometimes in conflict, I behave like a child. And I need to not do that anymore. So the next question I ask myself is, am I willing to participate in an informed discussion? And I got that question from a little friend I like to call my serenity saver. It asks me, am I willing to participate in an informed discussion? Because generally when I'm in conflict, I'm not willing. What I am willing to do is to tell you that you're wrong, to tell you that I'm right, and dislike you and cause a big commotion, you know, because that chaos is familiar to me. You know, I feel good in chaos sometimes. You know, that's my growing up in the disease of alcoholism coming out. So how do I reach a decision that's consistent with spiritual principles? Again, this is a question that I haven't invented. This has come from our resolving conflicts within Al-Anon literature. Harmony. What is harmony? I didn't even know. You know, I talk about the home that I grew up in, and it was a battleground, and there were mines, emotional mines, that could have erupted any time, and I never knew when they would. And I come into Al-Anon family groups, and the group meetings are calm, and it's a safe place, and people are kind and loving to each other. And I begin to relax, and I begin to be me, and I begin to be present to what's in there. And it feels good, you know, it feels warm, and it feels loving, and it is the opposite to the home that I grew up in. So I start to know what harmony feels like, and I experience it in meetings. And sometimes I experience it in business meetings where I see some people disagree, but then they still go and have a cup of tea afterwards. Again, we're going to go to the dictionary. Harmony is an orderly or pleasing combination of elements in a whole, the order and harmony of the universe. It's a relationship in which various components exist together without destroying one another. Now, that's the home I grew up in. Alcoholism, we were destroying one another. You know, I identify strongly with the opposite of harmony. Different kinds of fish, for example, living in harmony. Different kinds of birds, for example, living in harmony. Harmony is a relationship characterized by lack of conflict or by agreement as of opinion or interest, like family harmony. Now, within Al-Anon family groups, we have an agreement. You know, we're all here to recover from the effects of alcoholism. That's our bottom line agreement. And conflict's going to come or go. As we learned earlier, it's part of life. I need to accept it and stop being angry or surprised when it shows up in my life. I need to recognize that conflict is normal, just like clouds are normal. It's okay, I don't have to like them, but I do have to accept that they're there. So how do I recognize harmony if I'm from the home that I grew up in, where it's just chaos and disorder and yelling and holes in walls all the time? Me with my acronyms, H, harmony. How? Honest, open-minded, willing. A, I have to be agreeable. R, responsible, the ability to respond. My first sponsor taught me that, the ability to respond. That's what being responsible is. Because I didn't know prior to Al-Anon. Motives. Motives are clear. And for me, motives are my motive behind my behavior is goodwill. Generally, when I'm trying to behave, I don't wake up of the day thinking, great, today's the day I derail something in my life. Or today's the day I show my husband that he is wrong. You know, that's not my motive. My motive is to live in harmony and to be, let me see, happy, joyous, and free. But, you know, life happens. So I need to be really clear what my motives are and keep them front of mind. That's really hard. I need to be obedient to the unenforceable. Again, if this is a phrase you've never heard in Al-Anon family groups, get yourself this incredible book, the Al-Anon Family Groups Classic Edition. This is where Lois talks to us about what the motives are, about what the harmony is in Al-Anon family groups, and how to practice the principles, namely the steps, traditions, in our daily life and in group problems. And that's the phrase that she talks about in here. The end of harmony, no outside issues. So I need to really stay on track and stay close to what my purpose is and not get distracted. So for example, actually, if I go to that one in my home growing up, if there was a conflict, if my parents were arguing, that was the moment where you brought up every single thing that the person had ever done bad ever, and you put it into that argument. So I've had to unlearn that, and I've had to stay. If we're discussing X, then I'm not allowed to bring in Y and Z. And I've done that at work, and I've done that in my marriage, and I do that often in business or committees in Al-Anon. Yielding, the Y of harmony. Can I let go and let God? Am I willing to give ground here? Or am I, is being right really important to me? You know, am I stuck? So harmony acronym, how agreeable, responsible, motives are clear, obedient to the unenforceable, no outside issues, yielding. Can I let go and let God? How do I do all of that? Our principles are our guide. So in the Al-Anon Family Groups Classic Edition on page 166, if you've got it, feel free to grab it now. Lois says or asks us, what holds the fellowship together? It is based on a set of principles which its members use in solving problems related to alcoholism. Al-Anon derives its strength from concentrating those principles on that one problem. It holds together by means of a loving understanding among its members Al-Anon is united without organization, without management, without a chain of command or a set of rules, by its members' willingness to be obedient to the unenforceable. I let go and let God. Al-Anon group behavior. Al-Anon and Al-Ateen members expect a safe and pleasant environment when they attend a meeting. And when one member causes unrest due to inappropriate or intimidating behavior, the entire group could be affected. Groups are within their autonomy to establish group behavioral guidelines in a manner that reflects their group conscience and abides by the traditions. This is all stuff that I've learned from our service manual. So not only do we have a code of conduct in here, we also have the autonomy to, if we need to, if the need arises, we can create group behavioral guidelines to reflect the group conscience and to abide by the traditions. Isn't that nice? And what I loved about finding these readings in our literature is that I recognized there was a moment at an area assembly in a business meeting where a member was very passionate about a topic and the discussion wasn't going their way, and they raised their voice and slammed their fist on a table. I was not there, which is probably God's grace. I heard about it later from members who were there, who were reasoning it out with me, and I said, that is unacceptable behavior. It sounds like you all accepted it. And that was a bit of an epiphany, because what I come to understand in my own recovery is that sometimes within the rooms, it doesn't even have to be in the room, sometimes in my job or in my relationships with loved ones, I'm the one putting up with the inappropriate behavior or intimidating behavior. And it was really helpful for me to hear that behavior, raise voices and fists on tables, and recognize that my boundary is that that's not okay. It's not okay in the rooms. It's not okay in a business meeting at an area assembly. And it wouldn't be okay at work. And certainly if I did it, if I behaved that way, or my husband behaved that way at home, I would be having words and saying that that's not appropriate. So why were we accepting this behavior in an area assembly? You know, I don't know, and I can't answer that. But it's a really good reminder for me, as my sponsor said, right at the beginning when we talked a little bit about, it's really hard to practice recovery in recovery. And my disease sometimes gets in, and my disease, you know, my willingness to behave in old ways, to pretend that things are okay when they're not, to minimize the behavior that's going on. It's that whole fight, flight, freeze, trauma thing. I just go back into denying that there are problems when there actually are. So the Al-Anon code of conduct, all Al-Anon discussions should be constructive, helpful, loving, and understanding. And if I had been there, maybe I might have been able to say, hey, let's take five, because this doesn't seem to be constructive, helpful, loving, and understanding. I wasn't there, and I don't imagine that I would have been able to behave that well. But I was at another area assembly, where the one where they asked me to come and do this workshop, where they did have someone who was purposefully being obstructive and purposefully raising their voice and purposefully criticizing the chair. And everyone was just sitting there and letting that happen. And I was invited as the regional board member at the time to go there and participate and run this workshop. And what happened for me was watching this behavior unfold. I'll just stop sharing. Watching this behavior unfold, I was sitting in the room, and the chair was talking about making a decision, and the person didn't like the decision. So they just started in with an incredibly sarcastic tone, quite a loud voice, and bringing up things that weren't relevant to the discussion. And true to form for me, you know, my knees started knocking and my chest started to tighten and my heart started to race. But by that stage, I'd learned that I could detach from those feelings. I could detach from the physical reaction to conflict, and I could say to myself, okay, yep, there's a conflict happening in this room, and I could acknowledge it, you know, I could be aware of it. Then I could accept it really quickly. I could go to myself, okay, body, okay, self, I understand that you want to run and that you're feeling a lot of tension right now, but you need to just sit here and you need to just be present because the chair needs you. So I just sat there and I didn't say anything, and I waited. And then my sponsors taught me to recognize the humanity of me, you know, to be able to be human. And so she's taught me to say things like, this might not come out as lovingly as it's intended. Or she's taught me to just say the thing, say the fact, say the truth of what's happening. So I, in that moment, and my voice trembled, you guys, and my knees knocked, and I said, this behavior is inappropriate in a business meeting, and I'd like it to stop. And that's all I needed to say. Because as soon as I said that, I acknowledged what was happening, that it was bad behavior, that it was inappropriate, and that it needed to stop. The person said, yes, I'm being, and then they, you know, they described, they used describing words, saying that they were being what they were being, and it was, you know, I think they said something like, you know, I'm being hypercritical, and I'm using sarcasm as a tool. You know, they acknowledged straight away what they were doing that wasn't okay. And the whole energy in the room went down because it was building and it was building and it was building and it was building, and everyone was getting a little bit heightened, and that tension in the room, you know, it's palpable, you guys. Conflict is palpable. And I don't know about you, but I've got that, you know, super antenna that picks it up. So I was reacting to it. But as soon as we acknowledged it, the room just went down, the person stopped behaving badly, and the business meeting carried on. Now, I don't know what happened after that, but it was really nice to be able to be an instrument of God's peace in that moment and to bring harmony back into the room. But I couldn't bring it back into the room if I wasn't aware that we'd lost it in the first place and I didn't accept that it was going on. Because those two things for me were what I needed to do to break my denial around conflict and to break my pattern of fight, flight, freeze, trauma, minimize, deny. So awareness, acceptance, and then I was able to take the action. Did I take the action in a way that was perfect? You know, did I wade in like Wonder Woman and with the perfect phrase and the perfect, you know, physical way of doing it? No, I just did the best I could on the day with what I had, the tools I had. God gave those tools to me and I was willing to use them, and I used them. And I used them in a way, hopefully today, that means that I don't then have to make amends for my behavior. But the point is I used them. You know, God's given me a voice and it's my job to use it. And for me, that's what Concept 4 is about. That's what participating is about. Did I want to leave the room? Yes. Did I want it just to stop? Yes. But was it going to stop on its own? No. And I know that God put me in that assembly at that time to witness, to be a witness to it for the chairperson who was having to put up with this business meeting after business meeting. And so to acknowledge and to give the area another way through it. So that was another, I guess, moment for me where I was able to try and put Al-Anon's code of conduct, to try and be constructive, helpful, loving, and understanding. And the understanding part for me is really important, because what I understand, when I'm in a room of fellows, when I'm in fellowship, whether it's in service or whatever, I'm with people, you know, we're here because we're not all here. We're here because we've been affected by alcoholism. And occasionally, our defects are going to pop out. And when they do, it's going to be ugly. So I don't need to go into a scenario. My sponsors taught me this. You know, I'm the insane one if I go into a scenario of adult children of alcoholics, or people who live with active alcoholism, or people who are at differing stages of their understanding of the three legacies and how to apply them in their life. And I expect them to behave well every minute of every moment we're together. That's my insanity. So for me, learning to accept that conflict exists and then accept that I have a part to play in it, and to look at what that part is, let it begin with me. Because that's where I get to, as the reading goes on, for me to be happy, joyous, and free. And Al-Anon, it's not just a saying that we talk about in meetings. For me, it's a way of behaving. And it's attractive and inspiring. And I've learned it by watching long-timers do this. You know, I've watched long-timers diffuse something in loving and constructive ways. And it fosters, when we're able to do that, you know, when I've watched a magical long time and do that, it fosters that sense of unity and that peace of mind that we assume or presume we have in meetings, but it's not always there. And to me, that's the very bit that we talk about in the meeting closing, the understanding, love, and peace of the program. Let it grow in you one day at a time. You know, for me, those are as much a part of our code of conduct as what I read out in the service manual. Tools. I held these up a little bit earlier. So this one is the S73. It is the talk to each other, resolving conflicts with an Al-Anon brochure. And it takes us through in wonderful detail the traditions, and it has an incredible amount of resolutions and ideas and things that we can do in the moment to find our way back to serenity. So I've just bullet pointed some of the things that are in here. We can participate in discussions. We can listen to everyone's opinions, support decisions, even if we don't agree, presume goodwill, discuss, don't attack, keep your voice low and pleasant. That's in our service manual. Stick to the subject. I always found that one difficult in the beginning. Don't make demands. Stop talking. Listen to the other person's point of view. Look, act, and be interested. Seek to understand rather than be understood. And face any hostility. Accept responsibility for your words and actions. I know in moments of conflict that I feel like I'm powerless. And that's actually a really good place to be. It doesn't feel good at the time, but when I recognize my powerlessness, ironically, that actually connects me to my higher power, because I might be powerless, but I'm not helpless. And I can tap into the strength of the people that have come before me in Al-Anon, the long-timers, and the wisdom in our cow. And I can access a power greater than me. I can ask for help. I can go to my sponsor, my service sponsor. I can go to my fellows. They are God in skin. I can talk to or watch experienced members, and I can ask for the courage to change. And those are the places I go to get my strength. So we're on a take five. Actually, even before we do this take five, I'm just going to stop sharing the screen. How about we take 5 minutes before the take five to look after ourselves and our needs, grab some food, go to the bathroom, grab a drink, stretch, go and pat your pet, go and smell some flowers. We're going to have 5 minutes now to go and do that, because self-care is important. Then we're going to come back and I'll put up the questions. You know what the gig is now. So I'll see you in five. And have a nice self-care break.
Thank you, Sally Ann. Yeah, you guys, take a break.